time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. This week we'll hear from PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo about that. Of course, rural crime and health care were among the main issues discussed at the two-day midterm SARM convention in Saskatoon. SARM President Ray Orb will tell us about how the 2 days of meetings went along. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission and the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission are seeking feedback from registered wheat and winter cereals producers on the potential amalgamation of the two commissions. We'll hear from Carol Ann Patterson, who is the executive director of the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission. And we will also have a story about Protein Industries Canada. They've announced a multi-million dollar project to turn prairie crops into seafood alternatives. Chief Technical Officer Megan Gervais will join us on today's program as well. So all of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's a little cloudy here today, but we have those strong winds once again.
And the cloud cover is really going to be what we have most of the time. A couple of flurries may try to form from this. A few breaks in the clouds may develop too, so I'll keep that little optimistic flare for a Friday with a mix of sun and cloud, but the sun is getting the short end of that mix. The flurries, though, are too. But yeah, the wind is really what's been the issue. You know, we took a sharp changeover into winter, but you can get winter without the wind, you can get winter with the wind, and typically when the pattern is active, you get these disturbances that really churn up the wind as they go by. What we have now is one that's basically refeeding itself. Nothing is overly changing from day to day, which means these storms, each one that comes in, sets up the same exact scenario as the day before, and that's why the wind picks up in the exact same way as it did before. The pattern will break a little bit. There's going to be a little bit more of a progression. There's a trough sitting over the Great Lakes right now, and that's causing our block. That's going to start to swing eastward by the end of the weekend. It'll start to open things up a bit for us. We'll get more into a progressive pattern, which is good because progress to the west will mean some warming. There is some warmer air back behind this trough. We're sort of on the western edge of a secondary trough. It's the cold part of the air mass is what we're in. But it gets pushed aside just the same as that other trough. And when it does, we'll see things getting back to normal. But for now, you factor in the temperatures with the winds, and it feels like between minus 17 and minus 20. At peak, when the winds are not at their peak, we're minus 14 to minus 16. But either way, it's cold, and the gusts still for the afternoon close to 50. Into the evening, we'll hold the wind for a while, and then they'll drop off. West to northwest wind diminishing to 15 to 25 overnight. We'll get a little more of that clearing setting up, low minus 15. But at the same time as I'm saying some clearing, there is going to be another round of flurries that cuts through. I think it's going to be more localized in terms of who gets the cloud cover. So not everybody gets that, and certainly if not everybody gets the cloud, not everybody gets the flurries, but a few will be around, and then a few more set up tomorrow. In fact, that's a little more widespread tomorrow. That could be for some areas up to a centimeter. So certainly not a heavy snowfall, and much lighter wind tomorrow, southwest 10 to 20. The high is minus 6. Partly cloudy, minus 13 tomorrow night, and a partly to mostly sunny day on Sunday, the high at minus 5. Started to get into that improvement. Not a huge increase, but an increase nonetheless. It's the difference between minus 10 and windy versus a little more tame and minus 3 to minus 5. That's where we are early week. A chance for a flurry on Monday, mostly dry, minus 3. Partly sunny, minus 2 on Tuesday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 5 degrees, Swan River minus 6, Dauphin and Brandon minus 7, Shoal Lake Russell and Roblin minus 9. Regina, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head all reporting in at minus 9, Hudson Bay minus 6, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, a northwest wind at 33, gusting to 46 kilometers an hour. 72% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 8 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 17 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of minus 9 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 20 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 5 degrees. The normal low is minus 13 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 8:12 this morning, and it will set at 4:58 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was George Island at minus 3 degrees. The cold spot to Dooley Lake at minus 24 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Stony Rapids at minus 5 degrees. The cold spot was Key Lake at minus 23 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Grain markets were mixed this week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo says canola was down $30 per metric ton for the week, while spring wheat futures were up 3 cents a bushel.
Starting off on the canola front, January canola decreased approximately $30 a ton. Today we're down about four, sitting at about $857.40. On the Minneapolis wheat front, a little bit different. We're actually positive on the week by about 3 cents a bushel. Today we're about unchanged, down about 1.5 cents at $9.52.25. So the story this week on the canola front was really how soybean oil has really hit some resistance recently, with palm oil going down and actually the largest spread ever between the price of soybean oil and palm oil. So with kind of those prices starting to come down, I believe that's putting some pressure here on the canola front, with January again running into that 900 resistance this week and now breaking some important support below this 860 that I've been watching. We could see possibly that lower end of the range of 800. Right now, I would say the situation fundamentally is a little bit bearish on the soybean front, unless really the current dry conditions in Argentina develop into a significant problem. The market actually faces a massive increase in the supply of soybeans and other oil seeds next year. So I am going to be talking about with clients how to be protecting potentially their next year's crop on the canola side of things. When looking again at the world, Brazil is expected to see a record crop, and they are off to a good start. But until the harvest early next year, there could still be periods of tighter, at supply if, U.S. and Argentine crush come in below expectations. So the world soybean production is expected to increase by 35 million tons in 2022-2023. And again, that could be a bit of a negative kind of factor for canola. So right now, I still believe that canola has the fundamentals itself to maybe go higher in the winter months, but talking with producers that might have not sold that much of this year's crop, I think it is worthwhile to be selling some if they're able to get around that $20 a bushel.
Piccolo adds the Black Sea grain export deal is having an impact on grain markets.
The news that the Ukraine-Black Sea grain export deal will be prolonged for another 120 days has helped to drive the market lower here right now. This will help, keep the crops flowing. And what I'm kind of seeing again is just a lot of downward pressure really on kind of wheat in general. And I believe that we could be kind of headed back to the lows of, on the charts if there's anybody out there watching. It was back in kind of August, September time frame for the Minneapolis wheat contract, close to that 880 a bushel. And that's still about 70 cents away. And, again, if things kind of keep developing positively on wheat moving, that could, I would say pull things.
Adam Piccolo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Winnipeg. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program.
GX94, AgriView.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced several new pieces of the Canadian government's yet-to-be-released Indo-Pacific strategy. While in Thailand for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Economic Leaders Meeting today. The announcement included $31.8 million designated to establish Canada's first agriculture trade office in the region to increase and diversify agriculture and agri-food exports to the Indo-Pacific, strengthening trade on both sides of the Pacific. Organizations that represent agricultural commodities that are exported to Asian markets, including canola, pulses, soybeans, and wheat, have been calling for an increased presence in the region. Reaction to the announcement was swift, as the Canola Council of Canada, Cereals Canada, and Pulse Canada issued a joint statement applauding the news. However, the announcement did not specify in which country or city the office will be physically located. The association that represents farm equipment dealers across Canada is speaking out against a right-to-repair private members bill. It would amend the Copyright Act to allow Canadians to circumvent computer software to diagnose, maintain, or repair a product, whether that's a phone, a household appliance, a car, or a tractor. Bill C-244, introduced by BC Liberal MP Wilson Mayo in February of this year, has passed second reading in the House of Commons and is currently under review by the Standing Committee on Industry and Technology. In addition to allowing the circumvention of digital locks, the bill would also allow the manufacturing, importing, and sale of technologies or devices that can be used to diagnose, maintain, and repair products that have internal software protections. As written, it's seen as applying to anything with internal software that limits someone's ability to repair it. There was little in the way of changes in the November supply and demand report from the International Grain Council, or IGC. The most notable alteration made by the London-based global organization was its 4 million metric ton reduction to 2022-23 wheat ending stocks, now at 282 million metric tons. The IGC lowered exports from 70 million metric tons to 66 million. Also, the council said it was particularly concerned with dry conditions in Argentina, reducing production, and excessively wet conditions in Australia, hurting quality. Also, the IGC trimmed 1 million metric tons off of world wheat production, projecting 791 million for the current marketing year. That would also make up for a drop of 10 million metric tons from the council's 2021-22 estimate. The IGC's November report marks the last one for 2022, with the Council's next round of estimates scheduled to be released on January 12th. Following a work reduction in early July, Quebec pork and poultry processor Oly Mill has now announced the permanent closure of its St. Hyacinth plant. The facility will be shuttered February 10th. The plant employs just over 100 people, all of whom will be given the option of jobs at other facilities in the region. The aging plant was a lard processor. However, Oly Mill's management team has decided to end this activity. In the future, the raw materials used to make lard will be sold to an external company. According to the company, this announcement follows a reorganizing of Oly Mill's workforce in the fresh pork sector, as well as a reduction in the volume of products requiring packaging. A new not-for-profit organization plans to take a hands-on approach to farmer mental wellness across the country. Organizers of the Canadian Centre for Agricultural Well-being say they will support farmers with a research-to-action approach to mental health. Working with provincial and national partners, the centre will advance farmer mental health research, clinical programming, education, and advocacy efforts, helping to address long-standing critical needs facing Canadian agriculture. Financial backing for the organization is not yet public. The Canadian Centre for Agricultural Well-being will be led by Dr. Brianna Hagen, CEO and lead scientist Deborah Van Birken, and Chief Programming Officer, as well as Marnie Wood as the CEO. And that is the Ag Review portion of our program. It's cloudy and minus 8 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Rural crime and health care were among the main issues discussed at the two-day midterm SARM convention in Saskatoon. SARM President Ray Orb says there was good attendance at the meeting, which wrapped up late yesterday.
We had a lot of delegates there. We had about 1,000 delegates that were registered, which, you know what, for the November midterm in Saskatoon, that's a pretty good number. The roads were a bit icy coming home and perhaps going up too, but overall, the convention went over well. We had good success from all of our workshops. We had a lot of interest, in particular, the interest in the mental health panel. That was a lady that was talking about mental health. And also the rural crime panel. We had full house for that on Thursday morning.
He goes over some of the resolutions that were passed.
Well, of course, the ones in regards to nitrogen fertilizer emissions were approved. We had a fair amount of discussion, actually, you know what, during the convention, just before those resolutions came up, we had some delegates come up to us, and they're really concerned about those kinds of resolutions. They, issue was, of course, our federal government talking about this nitrogen fertilizer emission problem. They see it as a big problem. We don't see it as much of a problem, of course, as the federal government does. But nevertheless, that one kind of stood out. The one on health care, of course, providing more seats through advanced education, you know, very good discussion on that one, too. And I think our delegates, you know, understand that the province is trying to do more in regards to rural health care. But it seems to be a slow process, and we know there are budgetary restraints and things like that. But I think probably the rural crime and the health care issue probably stood out the most at our convention.
And as for Orb's own presentation at the convention,
I have been thinking about this for a few years now, but we get a lot of reports either at our SARM office, or I do get phone calls too about bullying and harassment at our RM councils. And those are issues that come up quite often because of the fact that we have a number of councils that seem to be, we have council members that are bullying. In some cases, we have former council members that are bullying the current council. We do have issues with some ratepayers that are bullying councils, and we hear there are, it is mutual in some cases. So we're trying to make sure that our council members understand, you know what, we need to work with the public, but of course we need to gain the respect of the public in some cases too, if we are already don't have it. So we're offering training. There is training to the Respect in the Workplace program, if you recall. Sheldon Kennedy and his group offered that training. Our board of directors at SARM and our entire SARM staff has taken that training, and many of our IRMs, our individual councils, REEs, and administrators have taken it, but perhaps not all of them, and so we're promoting that. So that was one of my key messages. The other one, of course, was, you know, agriculture issues. I mentioned the fertilizer emission issue with the federal government. I talked about a trip to Ottawa a bit, not in great detail, but on our website, there's quite a great story about our trip and about the members, the ministers and their staff that we met with. So I think what I heard from our members, the convention went over well. The location seems to be good downtown, although there are some issues in Saskatoon with downtown parking. But other than that, I think we did have a little issue with registration. And if you know that computer systems always have the ability to fail at the worst possible time, and we had a glitch the first thing on Wednesday morning, but we got through that.
Ray Orb is the president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. It's time now for the livestock market conditions.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for December are trading at 153.27. That's up 52. February live cattle trading at 156.07, up 67. January feeder cattle trading at 181.07. That's up 110. March feeder cattle trading at 183.27, up 77. December lean hogs trading at 84.22, down 75. February lean hogs trading at 89.47, down 132. And that's the livestock market conditions. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission and the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission are seeking feedback from registered wheat and winter cereals producers on the potential amalgamation of the two commissions. Carol Ann Patterson is the executive director of the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission.
These discussions, I think, started about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And basically what we're finding is that winter cereals doesn't have a strong enough voice in the field of agriculture as it possibly could. And winter cereals themselves offer, a very good opportunity for producers to diversify. So the discussion started about a year and a half ago, and we approached Sask Wheat to see if they would be interested in joining forces. And at that time, it was, let's discuss it. Let's open the discussion up to producers to find out if they would be willing to explore options for amalgamation between the two organizations. So at the AGMs of our respective organizations last January, January 2022, we did have resolutions at both organizations, and there was, to explore, and the resolutions were passed, and then we did a producer survey in the spring of this year, and out of that particular survey, it was positive for the two organizations to explore. So there's a lot of reasons behind all this. One is, winter cereals acreages are decreasing, and so consequently levies are decreasing, and there's so many opportunities for research in winter cereals, there just isn't the funding behind it to really explore the opportunities in that. And so we're looking at joining forces. Plus it follows almost what Alberta has done with winter cereals and with what Manitoba has done with winter cereals in amalgamating with other organizations.
Patterson notes the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission encompasses three different crops.
There's winter wheat, fall rye, and winter triticale. Those are mandated as the three winter cereals under the commission's regulations that fall under the Agri-Food Council.
She says members of both commissions still have time to provide feedback before any decision is made.
Most definitely. The consultation document was published this morning on our respective website, so we encourage all producers to go either to the Sask Wheat or the Winter Cereals website and click on the appropriate links to look at the consultation document, look at the survey results from the first consultation in the spring, and then, of course, go to the Survey Monkey and, just answer three questions and provide comments for that.
Patterson says a final decision on amalgamation will likely be made in January of 2023.
Depending on the results of the producer consultation, which opened today and ends on December the 11th of this year, the two organizations will look at the results and provide those results to producers. And if those results are positive, we'll continue discussions with the Agri-Food Council, and then we will both present resolutions at the AGMs, which are being held on Monday, January 9th. Yeah, I should indicate that the boards of both organizations have been actively involved in drafting the consultation document, of course, with staff. So the directors on both Sask Wheat and Winter Cereals, they're in favor and have drafted the consultation document based on, the concerns and issues that were raised in the first consultation.
She notes that only levy-paying producers from both commissions can participate in the survey.
That's correct. It is for those registered producers for wheat and, of course, for winter cereals. So that, and we'll be, keeping track of that, of course, as we usually do at our AGMs.
And Patterson made this final comment.
Just encourage all producers again to look at the consultation document, and we would really appreciate everyone's input into it. It's a serious endeavor, and we want to make sure that, the results that come through do represent the interests of all producers.
Carol Ann Patterson is the executive director of the Saskatchewan Winter Cereals Development Commission.
Commodities update.
Canola futures are trading down across the board this afternoon. January canola trading at $8.55.20. That's down $6.50. March canola trading at $8.46.30. Down $3.40. December Minneapolis wheat trading at $9.53 per bushel, down 0.75 cents. December Kansas City wheat trading at $9.32.5, down 5.5 cents. December Chicago wheat trading at $8.02.5, down 4.25 cents. December corn trading at $6.67.5. Unchanged from yesterday's close. January soybeans trading at $14.26.5, up 9.5 cents. December oats trading at $3.97 per bushel, that's up 2.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. Protein Industries Canada has announced a multi-million dollar project to turn prairie crops into seafood alternatives. Protein Industries Chief Technical Officer Megan Gervais says three BC-based companies are involved in the research and development of using peas and canola protein as a substitute for traditional seafood.
In partnership with Conscious Foods, Merit Functional Foods, and Canadian Pacifico Seaweeds, an investment into the development of a new line of plant-based seafood alternatives.
She tells us what it's made of.
So the products will be made of a variety of Canadian ingredients, but the one that we're particularly interested in is Canadian plant protein. So coming from Merit's pea and canola protein products that have been developed in Western Canada.
Gervais outlines the value of their investment.
The total project value is a $15.3 million project overall, and Protein Industries Canada is committing roughly $5.5 million into the project.
But she can't give a precise date of when the products will be on the shelves.
So the companies are already, I would say, you know, they've really progressed in their development of these products, and they're certainly rolling out some demonstration sort of level samples of the product. I'm not sure what the commercial timeline will be, but I think that they are, you know, moving toward commercial availability of some of their products out in specific markets. So this is a project where we do see that there will be, you know, sort of products on the shelf in a fairly short turnaround time. The companies are really working toward a commercial launch of the products that they're developing in this project.
Gervais says the names of the products haven't been released yet.
Yeah, so this is really, they're looking at a range of different seafood alternative products that'll be available in the grocery store freezer section. And so it's not sort of one type of product that they're working on, but it's a whole line of different products that would include types of seaweed that you would typically see kind of in your freezer aisle. So it's a range of different products, and they are working toward expansion through North American markets and really further out into other markets as well.
She explains what types of seafood will be imitated.
Yeah, so the products that they're working on will be innovations in the grocery freezer aisle. And so looking at things like delicious plant-based sushi, so sort of full products that you might order on a restaurant menu, but made out of plant-based ingredients. So I think the sushi is the one that they're really highlighting right now.
Gervais lists what types of crops will be used to make these products.
Yeah, they're the key ingredient, or sort of an important ingredient in the matrix that they're using, is coming from Merit Functional Foods. And they're looking at, as far as I know, both the pea and canola protein that Merit is working with. And then interesting other ingredient that's coming into this product is from Canadian Pacifico Seaweed. And so they're bringing sort of seaweed ingredients into this as well, which will help to give the product sort of that familiar taste and experience that you might find from a typical sushi product.
She says this is good news for Saskatchewan farmers.
So, you know, this is another example of a project that will create new market demand for canola and for pea protein that is grown and processed here on the prairies. And so they're taking the protein ingredients that are being extracted and produced here in Western Canada and formulating it really into a product that any consumer can buy off the grocery store shelf. So a new opportunity to use these plant proteins in an application that we haven't necessarily seen.
Megan Gervais is the Chief Technical Officer for Protein Industries Canada. One of the largest independently owned crop retailers in North America has been sold. Earlier this week, you may have heard that GMAC's ag team and its 15 locations in Western Saskatchewan have been sold to Simplot Grower Solutions, part of the J.R. Simplot Company, based in Boise, Idaho. GMAC's Chief Executive Officer, Garth MacDonald, made the following comments on a YouTube video earlier this week.
Our decision to sell the company has been discussed thoroughly and for many months. Myself, our board of directors, and our leadership team have analyzed all the opportunities, and we all agree that selling the company at this time and selling it to Simplot is in the best interest of everyone, including our customers and the communities in which we live and operate.
The 15 GMAC locations will transition to the Simplot Grower Solutions banner. This includes the head office in Kindersley, as well as locations in Plenty, Milden, Brock, Leader, Lucky Lake, Marengo, Etonia, Elrose, Rosetown, Meota, Medstead, Spiritwood, and Meadow Lake.
I'm pleased to say that as part of the agreement with Simplot, we have ensured that every employee of GMAC's ag team will retain employment in a similar job role. I believe that our amazing team working with Simplot will be able to meet your needs and expectations as the industry continues to change and grow.
The 15 locations have more than 100 employees, including 40-plus agronomic advisors.
Farm Bulletin Board.
On the Farm Bulletin Board today, the Canadian Association of Farm Advisors is having an event here in Yorkton next Wednesday, November 23rd. It'll run from 9 until 10:30 in the morning at the Community Futures Ventures office at 204 Smith Street East here in Yorkton. The guest speaker will be Blair Harris, when he'll be talking about business risk management. He graduated from the University of Saskatchewan in 1986 with a degree in agriculture, majoring in soil science. For 7 years, he worked as a crops analyst at Saskatchewan Crop Insurance in Melville. From 1993 to 2001, he worked as an agronomist with a fertilizer manufacturer. He then started farming in 2001 and worked as a farm consultant doing agronomy and field scouting. From 2003 to 2009, the consulting became more focused on assisting producers personalize the case and agri-stability programs. And since 2010, he's been concentrating on farming and watching the grain markets. With respect to business risk management, there's two aspects he focuses on. Number one is agri-stability, and number two is commodity futures markets. So if you would like to hear more from Blair Harris, you need to RSVP to this event by November 22nd. That's Tuesday. You can RSVP at denise@philipchuckmanagement.com. And of course, that's coming up next Wednesday, November 23rd, with the Canadian Association of Farm Advisors. Once again, that's at the Community Futures Ventures office in Yorkton, 204 Smith Street East. And that's all the time we have for the Farm Bulletin Board today. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock. It's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. A mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of flurries. Winds northwest at 20 to 40 and gusting higher at times, a high of minus 7. For tonight, partly cloudy. Winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a low of minus 15, a wind chill of minus 22. For tomorrow, partly sunny with a 30% chance of afternoon flurries. Winds southwest at 10 to 20 and a high of minus 6. For Sunday, partly to mainly sunny. Winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of minus 5. For Monday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of late day flurries, a high of minus 3. And Tuesday, partly sunny, a high of minus 2. In the Paw, it's minus 5 degrees, Swan River minus 6, Dauphin and Brandon minus 7, Show Lake Russell and Roblin minus 9. Regina, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, and Indian Head all reporting in at minus 9 degrees, Hudson Bay minus 6, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, a northwest wind at 33, gusting to 46 kilometers an hour. 72% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 8 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 17 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 for another edition of the program.
You've been listening to the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by